Let us all pray. Praise to thee in adoration, blessed Jesus, Son of God, who, to serve thine own creation, didst partake of flesh and blood. Teach me that I never may from thy fold or pasture stray, but with zeal and joy exceeding, follow where thy steps are leading. Let me never, Lord, forsake thee, even though bitter pain and strife on my way should overtake me. But may I, through all my life, walk in fervent love to thee. In all woes, for comfort flee to thy birth, thy death, and passion, till I see thy full salvation. Amen. The word of God which we shall consider is the Confession of St. Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Dear students, faculty, friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do you say I am? That is the most crucial, important question which has ever been asked or ever will be asked of a person. It is a question which our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, addresses to every soul on the face of the earth. And it is a question which everyone will be compelled to answer. It is a question, the answer to which has called us and changed us and given us a new life in Christ, a life of fellowship and peace with God, a life of hope, hope of eternal life. It's a question, the answer to which is the reason why you're here this morning, why you made that great and important decision to become a minister, why God will bless you in your ministry, just as he did St. Peter in his, because you have answered that question. You've answered that question with the only true answer, Peter's confession. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's only one answer to the question. But there are thousands of wrong answers. Answers which you will hear and observe every single day of your life. Answers uttered either implicitly or explicitly by millions and millions and millions of people all over the face of the earth. Roughly speaking, all of these wrong answers can be boiled down to two in number. Two classic answers to that all-important question. The answer of invincible indifference, and the answer of heretical distortion. For a couple of minutes now, I'd like to give you a couple of classic examples of each of these two paradigmatic answers of the response to that crucial question. I'd like to tell you a couple of stories from my life and experience. And you'll have similar experiences, I know. Story number one. It happened about 12 years ago, just after our seminary had been moved from Springfield to Fort Wayne. One of the first things you do in a new town is to order the morning paper. And I did that. Ran across a column by a columnist from Chicago by the name of Sidney Harris. One morning, he had in his column the incredible thesis that everybody in the New Testament who had anything to do with writing the New Testament itself had never seen nor had any contact with Jesus. A thesis, of course, which casts doubt on the reliability of all the words and deeds recorded in the Scriptures about our Savior. Well, I immediately shot off a letter to the editor, pointing out the absurdity of such a position and showing that it undermined the entire Christian faith. It never should have been printed. That evening, right at supper time when we were sitting down to eat, probably during our prayer, I received an irate phone call from a professor over here at IU Purdue by the name of Gottlieb. Here's how our conversation went. Are you Dr. Robert Preuss? Yes. I'd like to talk about your extreme anti-Semitism to you. What in the world are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. You wrote a letter in today's paper in which you attacked Sidney Harris, and he's a Jew. How am I supposed to know that Sidney Harris is a Jew? He doesn't have a name like Gottlieb or Finkelstein or Rosenblum. But apart from that, I'll attack anyone who undermines my Savior and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether he's a Jew, or a heathen, or an atheist, or a Catholic, or a Lutheran. It's you, my friend, who are anti-Christian. Christ Jesus isn't my Savior. Oh, yes, he is. He died for you just as well as he died for me or anybody else. He is the Son of the living God who came down to this world to suffer and die for you, and he saved you, and he is your Savior, whether you like it or not or believe it or not. I don't give a damn about Jesus. That was his answer, and he hung up. The answer to the question: invincible indifference. I don't give a damn about Jesus. And you're going to hear that answer in 1,000 different forms out in the ministry. And you're going to have to give some response to it. And if you try to mitigate that answer in a subtle way or whatever you try to do in terms of response, the answer sometimes will get very, very mean. And indifference changes to outright antagonism, sometimes of the most virulent sort. Story number two. A paradigm of heretical distortion. This story goes back to about 3 weeks. Up in Minnesota, I was up at my cabin up there where I try to do a little relaxing every August, always reading theology, reading a book, when suddenly I spied coming down the path a very curious couple. I went out to meet them. The one was a young fellow, maybe 20 years old, a short, blonde, anemic-looking, who turned out to be absolutely taciturn. The other was a kind of a jovial, happy woman, twice his age, very swarthy, looked like a gypsy. She spoke, "I'll bet you haven't any idea why we're here." And I said, "No." Our cabin is really up in the woods. Nobody walks into our yard. It's miles from everywhere. Well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, "Oh, I have something very important I want to talk to you about. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." My wife heard this conversation And she spoke out rather dogmatically, "They are not coming into this house." This was a very firm, Christian, biblical reaction, taken straight out of 2 John, I think it's 9 or 10. You do not invite a person into your house who is actively propagandizing and listen to him tear down the doctrine of Christ. That's what John says there. So we sat out on the front porch for about an hour, talking. And you can imagine what we talked about. I gave my witness and she gave hers. She didn't believe that Christ was the Son of the living God. She didn't believe that he was God at all. She believed he was just a creature. She didn't believe in the Trinity. She believed in some sort of idea of the atonement, but she couldn't quite figure out how God could atone for our sins through a mere creature. Finally, the telephone rang, and my secretary, I think it was on the phone from here, Trudy. And so I had to go answer the phone, but before I answered it, I said to this lady, "I want to say one thing before you leave. I plead with you, don't go to these other houses along this gravel road and try to convert Christians. Because if you do, you're going to lead them to eternal hellfire." And she got a little upset at that and responded, "I'm only trying to witness to the truth, and I want to establish the kingdom of Jehovah on earth." To which my wife said the final word from the kitchen. "The kingdom you are trying to establish was established long ago by the devil in hell." And with that, the lady left in a storm. Two classic answers to the question, "Who do you say I am?" And the one answer is as blasphemous as the other. The crude, earnest, Unitarian, Arian answer of that woman, she admitted she was an Arian, is just as bad and wrong and arrogant as that rude outburst of a pompous, sophisticated university professor. Today, all over the world, you hear these answers, or you sense them, or you experience them in some way or other, either implicit or explicit, answers proclaimed, ringing out, as though they are the gospel truth about Christ, or God, or anything spiritual, or ethical, or good. And you and I are called to respond to these demonic answers and to answer ourselves, to give answer to that only important, that urgent life and death answer, the question, "Who do you say I am?" And of course we answer with Peter's words, don't we? They sum it all up. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ. That's not just a name like Robert or Dickie. It's not just a title. It is a description of everything that Jesus is and all that he has done to save you. It is a summary description of everything that the Old Testament said about the promised Messiah and his redemptive work. He is the promised seed of the woman. He is the Son of Man. He is the righteous branch, the righteous one, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. He is the Redeemer, the Savior of the human race. He is Yahweh himself. That's what the word Christ means. And why can he do all this for us? How can he do it? Because, as St. Peter says in his confession, revealed from the Father himself, because he is the Son of the living God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, because it is the blood of the Son of the living God. And so we make Peter's confession, and we will continue to make it throughout a long and blessed ministry. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, as that Jehovah's Witness woman thought, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and is incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and became man. He was crucified for us. That means in our place. Under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried. He rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And from thence he shall come in glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. May this great gospel confession, which answers all the questions of life, be your message to a world which needs that answer. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.